Good morning, everyone. My name is Andrew Mayoki. I'm here to talk about community-based para-social and health worker effectiveness in resource-poor countries, especially those countries with large vulnerable population. I'm co-authoring this study with my friend, Tamara Moss. She's right there behind us. She's at Howard. The main thrust of this paper and presentation today is to look at the space and gap of the population that to some extent needs service, but because of the need and sometimes the vastness of the population, sometimes are left behind. Before I go on, just want to disclose another relationship to financial. Okay, is to have a way of delivering service to a large group of population that is in need. And part of the challenge is that when we're talking about social workers or we're talking about community health workers, these we are talking about resources in terms of training, in terms of time, in terms of. But when you're looking at size-wise, we also can have a challenge. I mean, when we have, let's say, for example, the last time we had an emergency in the U.S., a large catastrophe like Katrina, you found one of the things which was stressed was emergency workers in terms of delivery of service to individuals. But one of the issues that when we're talking about the population, especially in resource-poor countries, you're also talking about diversity of populations. Diversity also creates an issue in terms of delivering care because you also need to be able to be culturally sensitive to the groups. So what the group population that we're working with is vulnerable children, the children that are under 18. And those ones who have faced negative outcome. But in the larger context, it's looking at not just the ones who are, in this case, orphans, but in terms of expanding that paradigm in terms of service to a larger pool of the vulnerable humans in resource-poor countries. Okay. We have a lot of work and energy has been put, especially when you're looking at HIV/AIDS, and that's part of the where I was able to get the data for. But in terms of the scope and need, I think it's a much larger than just specifically when you're talking about HIV/AIDS population. Globally, when we look at estimate in terms of a need, we have over 153 million children globally that have lost one or both. This is just looking at orphans estimate, but we're not talking about the estimate for vulnerable children because vulnerable children are much larger. Okay. 85% of the AIDS orphans live in sub-Saharan Africa. The data we are working today, or we'll be talking today, is from Cote d'Ivoire, which has approximately 400,000 HIV-related children. Many children, or many overseas and community health programs, use local volunteers. Part of this, the delivery of care is to train and meet regularly with them. Many of these programs also use part-time workers for the outreach. Most of these volunteers usually come from the same community. Part of it is making sure that they are cultural relevant issues are they are able to address the complexity, because if you've ever been to community, especially in some countries, for example, in some countries, even though we talk about nationalities, but within some countries we have many ethnic groups within those borders. So when you're talking about delivery care and community, even some groups have subgroups within with their own cultural norms within. So having somebody coming from the community addresses those issues of cultural relevancy and the complexity that goes with it, and including at the delivery of care. Yeah. Support system, in this case, paraprofessionals are the ones who are delivering the last level of care. They understand the critical need. They have been able to engage with the parents' guidance of for the children. So in this presentation, we would like to look at redefining this population as community-based paraprofessional and social workers and community health workers. And why is it? Because we believe the community focus borders not only the work that social workers do, but also on community public health. But they are not professional because part of the training is not sufficient to be for them to get them there. But most of them are actually, all of them are supervised by a professional. So to be able to deliver the care. And the reason they're able to be do it on a consistent, they know the people and they're able to vest their, a lot of interest in ensuring the success of their community and the people that they serve. And in this case, when you're looking at the children, if they have somebody who's from the own community, they understand, they're able to communicate in the language and navigate all the issues that go with being in the community. So the objective is to look at community-based paraprofessional social workers and community health workers' impact on social well-being and protection. For this particular study, I was glad and fortunate to have data from Cote d'Ivoire, which was a study which I did with Save the Children in 2013, sorry. And we were able to access 700 children, approximately. I worked with about 174 paraprofessionals and with 8 NGOs. So the data was from the community caregiver study, which looked at which was a quasi experimental design. The nice thing about this particular study was that we were able to get paraprofessionals to get data from a program which was being served, which was being run by Save the Children that had paraprofessionals. But we also, within the same community, within the same where we were collecting data, we also had other programs. OVC programs that were serving children but did not have a paraprofessional as their mode of service delivery. So we were able to use that as a natural quasi-experimental design to see what would be the impact of having this group of individuals in and in terms of those outcomes. So, if you look at the median age, the ones in the interventions were slightly older. In the intervention, we had a little bit more male, a little bit more female, in the control, slightly more male. I keep going back instead of going forward, sorry. So if you're looking at the gap of service, we're just, we decided to look at three areas of social and one area of in the health perspective. By just looking at just comparison in terms of number of services delivered, because within the core mini overseas program which are supported by PAFA, there are seven areas of services that can be able to provide. So if you look at the number of count, whether you're looking at one or two services being accessed, if you compare the two groups, the interventions and the ones with paraprofessionals, those without, the gap is huge across. Okay. So in terms of being, the paraprofessional being inserted into the service delivery model, they were able to provide to increase access for the children, to increase access whether they're looking at issues of legal, issues of social support, issues of in education. If you're looking at they all had significant access. If you're looking at education support, legal, and all this support, like for example, education. Education is an encompass of a variety of services. For example, able to attend school. Attend school, if you're talking about, is not a matter of just sending them to be able to be, signed up for education, but sometimes it also sometimes entails making sure that they have school uniform, because a lot of the access to school uniform, nutritional support, because some of them don't have food, they can be able to make sure that they're able to go to get there. And sometimes also intervening in school, because Some things which you think you don't think about, things like birth certificate. Some schools, before you can get in, you need to have birth certificate. So having all those, so we are looking at education support and illegal support sometimes interacts to be able to make sure that the child gets to school. The child is able to, if they get into trouble or they have issues in terms of, say, birth certificate or issues when they are, challenging in school, who goes and advocates for them. Health support also includes issues if for some of the children that were HIV positive, issues of adherence in terms of adherence to medication, adherence to going to for medical care, because sometimes just getting an appointment, this person can be able to advocate, make sure that they have an appointment at the medical clinic so that they can, or just getting them, because some of them might be too afraid or too shy, so being able to be the advocate and present when they go to medical center. So limitation obviously is in this one we selected only subsample within those larger data, so we were only looking at children's response. We didn't look at the CC paraprofessionals in terms of looking at the impact. And in some areas which we excluded in this study, the Abidjan, we could not get the control group because of the issues of transient, within the ones which were controlled by Save the Children, we were able to get the data. But for the other groups that were not part of the Save, getting that data was a challenge. So part of it too, was that. So we excluded that data in this particular analysis. Yeah. So for us, I think looking at this group holistically, is that they make a difference in the children's life and the well-being and the outcome. And yes, they do to some extent provide surrogate and foster care support, especially for those children that do not have adult support. But some of them, even if they have adult support, because of the status or the issue they were facing because of HIV/AIDS, that caused a disparity to a point where if they had an advocate, it allowed for the child to be able to have better access to care. Yeah. And they, those children without the paraprofessional were seriously disadvantaged in the delivery model. So part of this discussion is that they had a huge, independent of when you're looking at gender, age, and ethnicity within the... So I think in our proposal, in our study, is to try to advocate for having this paraprofessional as a standard of care, especially for vulnerable population. And even though we're talking about large communities that with large vulnerable population, I think this can also be a standard of care when you're talking about incidents where you need to be able to enter and access population or vulnerable population that have different culture and traditions, that understanding access, and especially the way you need constant connection, because when you have somebody from that community, they understand the issues, they understand our ways to communicate, and working with a social workers or a community help allows them to make sure that first of all the standard of care is maintained, but at the same time we are ensuring that the information is not lost somewhere, because sometimes, as our previous, you needed time to build trust, okay, in communities or access to art. So when you have somebody from the community, you're able to have that access to that trust very quickly, and you're able to ensure that, and including some of the intricacies or complexity of the discussion or within those communities. So to me, I think, and Dr. Moss, we believe that this is should be an integrated utilization of paraprofessional social workers and community help, because they have a huge impact in delivery of care and support within the community, especially when we're talking about resource-poor countries. But I think if on the larger context, because in some of the, I've seen home individuals that use home visits, even the U.S., also have a big impact in some of the studies. So to me, even though we're looking at it in resource, I can still advocate that they can have a big impact in any community, that especially when you want to have access to those particular communities. Thank you very much.